second and third chapter verses of Ephesians 3. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So you might have missed it, but humanity just did some pretty cool astronomical stuff. NASA's New Horizons space probe just went and surveyed the farthest object in our solar system that we've ever been anywhere near. It's this small little 20-mile-long piece of rock called Ultima Thule. That's 4 billion miles away from the Earth. You might have missed it also that China just landed a probe on the dark side of the moon, the first nation to ever do this in the history of humanity. So I say you might have missed that because 40 years ago, 50 years ago, with the prospect of launching something into space or landing and having a man walk on the moon, the whole Earth is watching transfixed at this amazing thing. But just like 40 or 50 years later, we're like, that's cool. Like, yeah, I mean, we're kind of like doing that all the time, right? Like rockets are going off and, you know. And only if you're like really a space nerd or really into science are you like, this is so amazing. Because everybody else is like, yeah, whatever, Mars. I'll be interested when we like land on Pluto, you know. So there's this something weird about humanity, right? Like on the one hand, we have this like yearning for peering into the mysteries and peering into like the wondrous like aspects of the universe. And then within like two generations, we're like, oh, that's cool. That's why sci-fi movies will never actually like become reality. Because when you see it on the screen, you're like, whoa, look at what they can do. But then like when we can do it, we're like, yeah, whatever. I can call people around the world. It's a big deal. So there's something about us where like we get kind of numb to the wonder of things. We get numb to things that ought to kind of shock and astound us. And I think this passage kind of gives us insight into some wonder that we need to recapture. The wonder that what Jesus Christ is doing, what he does in his life and death and resurrection, is not just for this small nation of Jewish people, but actually for everybody. That was as astounding as landing and having a man walk on the moon. But now, 2,000 years later, where we see Christians all around the world, we're kind of like, yeah, that's cool. Whatever. Because we've just kind of grown accustomed to this. But the fact that God's grace is for everybody and that the gospel goes out into the whole world is part of what Paul refers to as the mystery of Christ. Now, when he says mystery, he doesn't mean something unknown. What he means is something nobody knew that's been revealed in Jesus. So what we need to see and recapture is the sense of wonder that God's redemption of the world is not limited to a small place or a small time, but goes out and is global and universal for all time, for all peoples. Because what we see in Jesus Christ is that the mystery of God's love and grace is for all people. But we got to get a few things straight to kind of feel that sense of wonder. So the first thing we've got to get straight is that God has had an eternal plan. He has not been making this up as he goes along. God, from before time, has in some way known what he will do in the creation and redemption of the world. So Ephesians is kind of like the letter about the plans of God. It begins talking about it. You get pieces of it in the middle. It ends by talking about it. And so many of you might know this like powerful image in Ephesians 1 that in Christ this stuff is all coming true, being made real for us, but it's something that's been going on from the beginning. So in chapter 1, just a few verses in, where Paul's praising God for what he's doing, he says, somehow, in Jesus Christ, all of us were called before the foundation of the world to be with Christ. Now, I'm not going to go where you might be worried I'm going to go. We're not going to debate how predestination happens or anything like that. But the unescapable reality that Paul is talking about is there has been a plan that has been before all of this. So what we see in the chaotic scramblings of history, beneath that, there's the mystery that God has been doing one eternal plan worked out in time. And Ephesians is the letter that tells us, and in Jesus Christ, we see the plan. We see what God has been doing all this time. And we see how the plan is going to extend out until the end of time. And so this is what Paul is dealing with, this mystery of Christ. And so he says in our passage in verse 7 through 10, that in Jesus Christ, God is making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. So Jesus is not just this guy bringing this slightly small package of good blessing to you called salvation. Like, Jesus Christ is reordering and restoring the world. And suddenly, once Christ shows up, we see into the heart of God's plan for all of the world. And it's not dividing, it's uniting all things. Uniting Jew and Gentile, male and female, old and young, people from all over the world, uniting heaven and earth. And so really, Ephesians is Paul just overwhelmed with this reality that nobody saw coming. And in Jesus, we see this mystery that begins to be revealed to us of God transforming the world. And so Paul understands himself as not just like a simple minister of the Lord. He's like a minister of this good news that's going out explosively around the world. He is the apostle to the Gentiles. Like, this is his bread and butter. He says in verses 8 and 9, of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery, hidden for ages in God. Many of the apostles, their call was to minister to the people of Israel. And that was a beautiful call. The Lord had finally returned to his people. But the apostle Paul's ministry, his call was to spread the light of Israel around the world and draw all people into God's family. And what he sees is that he's not just like telling good news, he's unfolding the mystery of the universe. He's unfolding this big picture of this beautiful, amazing tapestry of redemption that God is doing. And so he wants the Ephesians to hear that they are part of this bigger thing. But here is the twist in the story. Here's kind of the kink in the cord, is that this was not something people were expecting, right? So Paul calls this the mystery that was unknown in the past, but now has been revealed to the apostles and to the prophets. What is that about, right? Because we just started our service with a reading from Isaiah about how all the kings of the earth will come and worship the Lord. And we just had a psalm that said all the kings will bring tribute to the Lord in Zion. And we just saw in the gospel that there are Persian astrologers, the Magi, who are saying there's something in the heavens that is saying a king has been born to these people. So why does Paul call it a mystery that hasn't been known but is now being revealed? So to understand this, we need to kind of understand the biblical mindset of, of Jews and rabbinical teachers at the time of Jesus, right? So like the Jews were heavily steeped in the scriptures. They had interpretive traditions. They had rabbis that were unpacking the word of God to them. And there's so many places where they saw the truth of the Old Testament. They saw what it meant to be holy. They saw what it meant to follow the Lord. They saw that they were a chosen people who were given this special mission to be God's people. And so there's so much that they saw. But what they didn't see was all the little bits of the Old Testament that were pointing towards something that was even bigger than the Jews, that was even bigger than the nation of Israel. And so all the places where it says kings will bring tribute to you and nations will come to your light, they made an interpretive choice. And they said, that means they will come in subjugation of us. That means they'll be our servants. So when the Messiah comes, the Jewish king, he'll finally kick out all these Roman invaders, and he will make Israel such a powerful nation that it will lead the world. And all nations will come and say, you are blessed. You are God's people. Here, don't kill us. We will serve you. And the Gentiles were at best second-class citizens in this nation. At best, they were going to like not die and be servants of God's people. And then there were a few rabbis who said, no, it's actually something deeper than that. They will convert and become Jews. The Lord is doing something. He'll actually vanquish the Gentiles by turning them away from idols and turning them to the God of Israel, and they will become Jews, our brothers and sisters. But nobody saw that the Gentiles would be included in the people of God as Gentiles. Nobody saw that. Nobody saw that when the Messiah came, he would pull together this new thing, this unity in him of Jew and Gentile. And so when it happened, and when Paul starts to realize that this is what God is doing, it like blows them out of the water. So this is what Paul means when he writes in verse 5, this mystery of Christ was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it's been revealed now. So in the ministry of Paul and the apostles, they begin to see God is doing something so much bigger than we thought. And what he's doing in Jesus Christ is for everybody. So I haven't done like an ancestry.com on everybody here. Okay? So looking around, I know a lot of you as members of our congregation, we got some visitors. Okay, so I'm going to make some wild speculation. Okay? Maybe we have a Jewish brother or sister. Maybe we have a few who have some ancestry and Jewish roots. But generally, we look like a bunch of Gentiles, right? We got some folks who've got roots in Europe and Africa and Asia. But generally, what almost all of us share in common is we're Gentiles. Maybe you don't like consciously think of yourself, I'm a Gentile, right? But in the New Testament, like if they were going to categorize you, they'd be like Gentile, 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 right? Because in the eyes of the Jews, like it wasn't like, are you from Scotland or Ireland? Or it was like, Gentile, Gentile, Gentile. Okay? So here's the thing about Gentiles, right? We were on the outside of this whole plan. It wasn't our story. It was the Jewish story. God came to Abraham and he said, I will build you into a great nation. The other nations are going to be blessed, but you are going to be my chosen people. And so as you look in the Old Testament, it's a Jewish story of a nation of Jews following the one true God who is the Jewish God. So if something didn't change, this is not our story. That's not our testament. But then, in Jesus Christ, something profound happens, and suddenly, it's our story. Suddenly, Abraham's our father. But I didn't become Jewish, right? When I look out here, it's like Gentile, Gentile, Gentile in Christ. Gentile, Gentile, Gentile in Christ. So one thing hasn't changed, and yet everything else has changed, right? Maybe this is like super obvious to you, but this like blew the apostles' minds. So what's really important is like we need to pay attention to who we would be if Jesus Christ wasn't who he is. Okay? So this is what Paul says we would be. He reminds the Ephesians, who just recently were not just Gentiles, but pagans and idolaters and sinners who didn't know the Lord. And he tells them, if I can find my place, remember that you Gentiles, at one time, you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. This is Paul's diagnosis of us Gentiles without Christ. We didn't know the scriptures. We weren't in the people of God. God hadn't chosen us as his special people. He hadn't been working in our leaders and our people and giving of the law. We were all outside of that. And Paul wants them to remember that. At one time, you were out in the cold. But he reminds them that so he can point to what happened in Jesus. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And what Jesus has done, we come inside. We're part of the family of God. We're part of the people of God. And we're still Gentiles. So what Jesus Christ is doing is something nobody expected, uniting everybody in him. Because suddenly, being in Christ is what matters. And so this is what Paul is talking about, the mystery that you couldn't have seen if you lived in the time of the Old Testament. Only the prophets got a glimpse, but nobody saw fully this amazing thing that was going to happen. And the mystery is that the Gentiles, us, were not second-class citizens. What Paul says is, we're fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. So everything God had been doing in Israel was so that they would be a light to us, so that God would redeem everyone. And now there's over 2 billion people who identify themselves with the name of Jesus Christ. There's not a country in this world that doesn't have Christians in it. Most languages have the scriptures in their own language. There have been translations of it. In the span of 2,000 years, this thing, this gospel, this reality of Jesus Christ has gone out everywhere. And it's already happening in Paul's lifetime. The cool thing about the Roman Empire in that time is there were synagogues all over the Mediterranean. So you know what happened when the gospel happened? It just spread. And in the span of like 300 years, 20-something percent of the Roman Empire is Christian. And then 30, and then 40. And then it goes out into Scandinavia and Gaul. And then it goes out all the way to China in 600 AD. There are Christians everywhere. And Paul's like at the front end of this saying, this is the mystery of Jesus Christ. That what God is doing in this man, this Jewish king, who's come to this people, this nation of Israel, is suddenly so much bigger. It's world shaking. And God does this, not because he has to, but because it reveals something about how wonderful he is. And so we see in our passage that in doing all of this, he's manifesting his wisdom. He's revealing his glory by uniting people all over the world in the name of Jesus Christ. So last year, there was a gathering of Anglicans from around the world. And it was kind of the biggest gathering of Anglicans that had happened in a very, very long time. It was crazy. It was like 12 archbishops and like 500, I'm making all these numbers up, like 500 bishops, like 1,000 priests, and like 5,000 laity. Like, those are all completely fabricated. But it was a lot of people, and they met in Jerusalem, right? And so, like, you can, like, watch the official stuff, and there's, like, amazing teaching. So, like, one day, like, you're sitting and you're listening to this Ugandan bishop teach you the scriptures, and then there's, like, a Middle Eastern bishop teaching you, and then there's a guy from Australia, and you're just like, wow, this is really cool. And then there's these, like, shaky YouTube videos that I wanted to, like, refer everybody to, but they're, like, really shoddy. But what's cool is, like, you see this whole auditorium of people, and this guy's, like, shaky hand, and it's, like, everybody. People from everywhere. And they're all singing praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. And you're like, oh my gosh, this is so much bigger than I think it is. Like, this is so much bigger than when I put, like, my Springfield glasses on and I think about my Springfield problems. Because we all got Springfield problems, you know. But suddenly you're like, whoa, God is doing something here. And he's doing it in Jesus Christ. And somehow everybody's still who they are, and yet they're united in this name. That's what Epiphany is about. The light to the nations. The nations coming in and paying tribute to the God of Israel. Giving themselves over to praise the Lord of Israel, who now is the Lord of all the earth. So, I think that actually beats pictures of the Hubble Telescope nebula and everything like that. Like, those are amazing, and I geek out over those. But when I see this, what God has done through Jesus Christ, like, for all people, and when we have moments where we get to see how big his vision is for humanity, it's just, like, overwhelming. But we're so used to that idea that I think we lose that sense of wonder. So I'd encourage you to do something to pay attention to the global reality of Christianity. Read a book on it. There's all kinds of stuff on YouTube. I can recommend stuff. Do something that gives you an insight into the mystery of Christ that God's grace extends to all people. So I kind of got going, so I don't know where I am in time. So bear with me for a second. Because instead of just talking about the story of the Magi, which is a great story, you know, the story of the Magi are people coming to the Lord. I want to share with you something I saw, which is the Lord coming to a people. And it's like this really moving movie, it's more like a YouTube video, that I don't even know how I first saw it, but when I saw it, like, I just, like, broke down. And I, like, passed it along to Audrey recently, and she's like, people are going to think something's wrong with me because they're going to see this lady, like, in a Walmart parking lot just, like, weeping, right? And it's this video that a ministry put together of this tribe in Papua New Guinea receiving the scriptures. So you might have seen it. It was kind of around some blogs, but there's this tribe, and one second, I want to give them like the due credit of being the Kimyal. It's a tribe of like 4,000 people in the remote mountains in Indonesia, but they're Papua New Guinean. And they've been Christians for a long time, many decades. They have indigenous pastors who shepherded them, you know, but they haven't had the scriptures in their own language fully. So their pastors have to, like, read a Bible from another tribal language and, like, interpret it for people and translate. And even then, like, they're so hungry for the word that they've memorized huge chunks of scripture. Right, but it's always other people's scriptures, other people's gospel. And so Bible translators from the West worked with some translators from this tribe, and they finally completed the whole New Testament. And it's such a remote village that they're going to bring it in by prop plane. And so they have all of these, like, wrapped packages of just tons of Bibles. And they're going to bring it in on this, like, little patch of dirt that is the landing strip. And like the elders call the people to just glorify God for what's happening. And they just, like, in their own tribal way, just start dancing. And some of them have ceremonial headdresses that are surely from their culture of hundreds of thousands of years old. And their elders, the ones who have been in the Lord for the longest, are just thanking God and praising. And when the plane comes down, like, they open it up and they start moving the packages. And people just, like, start weeping. And they're just overwhelmed that, like, the Lord has come to them in their own tongue. That the word has become manifest in their life, this people, this village. And they're crying and they're praising God. And one of the elder women starts taking the scriptures and handing it to the younger people. Saying, like, we've had this word in our heart and in our mind, and now it's yours. Take this. Take this. And they're just praising and singing. And it's just this overwhelming thing of, like, receiving the Lord. And later in the video, there's a man named Siud, who's a pastor. And he says, I praise God because he is my God and my Father. He's thousands of miles from Israel. He's 2,000 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But that's the mystery of Christ, that when the gospel goes out, we can then say, as Gentiles, this is our God. He is our Father. We lose in the West the wonder of what's going on here, the kind of overwhelming majesty of God's plan for us, how God is truly praised in every tongue around the world. So in this Epiphany season, don't forget that. Praise God for what he's done, that we Gentiles have been included in the people of God, that we're not just second class, we're fellow heirs. We are co-members in this. And that God's grace has gone out to all people. Pray for those who don't know the Lord. Pray for those tribal groups who don't have very many Christians, that more and more might come to know the Lord. Make this a time where you know deep in your heart how unlimited and overwhelming the grace of God is in this world. Amen.